The following broadcast of Talk Shop was recorded for broadcast at this time.
Good morning. Today is Tuesday, the 30th of January. Blink. Okay, we're already 1/12 of the way through. Joining us this morning, Superintendent Gary. Woo.
It's a big title.
Last time it was bigger.
Yeah, I had two words last
time.
Yes. The assistant superintendent.
See, I can count to two.
We simplified things.
Yes. So what's his name is now history. You got rid of all of the family pictures.
Yeah. The office. I inherited a very clean office. Fred is a very meticulous gentleman. Oh, so I blank walls, clean slate.
Well, that's because he's used to a pitchfork and in the stables.
Yeah, I'll let him speak to that.
Yeah, hi. Well, you're gonna have to bring him along because I don't think he's just gonna show up and get in this building. Are you ready for your question this morning, sir?
Fire away.
We are in the category of politics and history. Why do we say that healing a relationship is mending fences?
I'm a big fan of the show Yellowstone. I think it has to do something with cattle, but I can't.
We'll see if we have cow in here. In 1880, the strong-willed Senator John Sherman was testing the water for a presidential nomination. He slipped out of Washington but was followed to his Ohio farm by a reporter who found the senator talking with a high-ranking party official while standing near a fence. When the reporter asked what they were doing, the response was, "We're mending fences," giving him his headline, and it became referenced as a new phrase for healing relationships.
Well, I keep my winless streak intact. I'm still over.
It's not that abnormal. I was going to say stunning, but it wasn't. Oh, shoot. Well, a couple of exciting things have happened in the last 3 or 4 weeks since we saw each other last time. I guess the initial one, was it last week? Yeah, I think it was last week. Situation that happened on a Monday that shut down and was a prolonged, siege. Is kind of what the thought was. I'm presuming because of the age that there were some kids involved, students involved. How does the system, how does Eureka City Schools anticipate extraordinary things? I mean, that's certainly an extraordinary. An earthquake would be an extraordinary. I don't think fire would probably, maybe a bomb scare, guns, all that kind of stuff. How do you anticipate, or can you anticipate these things?
Anticipate, I don't know if you can anticipate, but you can sure as heck practice. And so we drill. We've got a comprehensive safety plan that gets reviewed by our principals and our administrators and goes before the board every year. Each year, there'll be some little tweaks and additions that jump into the plan. But, I think when we're thinking about a big event, you really have to kind of rely on the drills and on the planning, and then rely on the experts to do their job. I think the event that we're talking about, we really, off campus events, we really rely on EPD to do their work, and then
it impacts. Let's call it the family, the school family. Either somebody knows somebody, or there's whispers going on, or there's teachers that are involved. There's impact.
There certainly is. So a big transportation department, many bus drivers moving to and from multiple school sites and multiple drop-off zones. So you are getting on the horn and you're talking to your transportation director. You're trying to find out which students, would typically be dropped off in a impacted area, and then talking to parents and making alternative arrangements and coordinating all of that in very real time while getting the updates that we're able to get from first responders or whatever the event
from
is.
From the badges. So in a situation like that, Gary, can you practice that, or are those tabletop exercises because you really don't want to, it's like practicing, okay, we're going to practice a bomb found in Pickett's spot, and then you put the word out that there may be a bomb, and everybody starts to go super emotional instead of practicing and developing that skill set to be able to deal with it when it's real.
Yeah. One of the things that we have made pretty common practices with the Eureka City Schools and the Eureka Police Department, and we're fortunate enough to have a school resource officer that works for the district, is anytime we have an event, you know, a significant event, we sit down and we talk about what worked, what didn't, and how do we get a little bit better.
Kind of like a postmortem.
Absolutely. So we sit down and we've developed a really good relationship with former Chief Jarvis and now Chief Stevens and Don Arminio, our school resource officer. And those relationships become really important. And, you know, there's trust in those relationships. And that is probably the most foundational thing that we can do in order to get ready for that next event, is to make sure that, you know, nobody's really, you know, rallying on one another, you know, about what could have been better. But, you know, we take opportunities to learn and grow.
It's funny when you got up to the analogy reference. I was thinking, caught with your pants down. But that has a whole different connotation with schools these days,
yeah,
doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, we'll stay away from
we'll
that.
We'll move on, yes. Now, Winship is outside of the city limits.
It is.
So do you do the same process with the sheriff?
We do, and we try, and those relationships are strong as well. So we've got two schools outside of the city limits. We've got Lafayette, just right down the street, you know, over here.
Duh.
As,
I got Winship figured out. Where's the other one?
as well as Washington. Right. And one of the things that we did.
Winship, dude, not Washington.
Winship. Thank you. Thank you.
Now we're even.
Right, yeah. One of the things we did a couple Septembers ago is we actually brought all of our first responders on to a professional development day. And while staff was off doing their thing, we walked each of the campuses and we looked for, you know, potentially vulnerable spots. We identified gas shutoffs. We, you know, walked the campuses and got to know kind of some of the key players and responders that would happen. So those, again, those relationships are super key.
Now, will you revisit that every year, twice a year, something, because, you know, they have turnover or people with new positions.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they have different responsibility sets. And I've been led to believe that the school system has turnover also periodically.
every once in a while, you know, you get somebody that inherits a blank office. Yeah, we do. We should, and we have to continue. Like, those relationships and those providing those spaces for folks to train is important as well. So if we have an opportunity where students are off campus, what a great opportunity for, you know, law enforcement to potentially run some drills.
Well, like summer?
Summer.
As an example.
Vacations.
Summer, winter, Christmas, Easter. The list is not limited. KINS, News and Information Time, is 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
This presentation of Talk Shop was recorded at a previous time for playback today. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back Talking Shop this morning with Gary, the official superintendent, Stutz from Eureka City Schools. As you're looking at this thing, Gary, and trying to figure out what you want to do, what you can do, what the system allows for, what the process is, you know, there are so many goofy things that are going on anymore. How do you a bomb scare? You know, McKinleyville was dealing with that one 2 months ago, 6 weeks ago, something like that.
Right.
Okay, and all you need is one wing nut to go stupid, and it can paralyze the entire organization. And maybe that's what the goal is sometimes. It's a little different than just pulling the fire alarm like in the old days, and that one campus is impacted.
Absolutely.
How do you How do you anticipate those types of things? Or can you? And you just kind of go, you know, like you said, we'll rely on what we're doing and get that punched out. And if it's something of that magnitude, you're secondary to the cops.
Absolutely. And then I think in the response area, you know, you really, we're fortunate to have good relationships and good partners in the area. And we were able to put together a multidisciplinary team to kind of come in and do that aftercare, you know, whether it is, you know, support for teachers who may be impacted by something that happened to a student or to another community member, or direct services for students. So, you know, I know that we are looking to put together teams and relationships that are able to come onto campus and provide those resources.
During the event or post?
Post.
So if it's a what do they call it, a live situation or something like that. So let's say there's something going on at an elementary school. You don't do anything at the high school at that time until it's all over and they go home and find out if it was what school it was and the family and whether or not the parents are freaked out?
Well, I think these are, you know, situation, case by case, scenarios. And in those situations, you know, we put out a call, we get everybody to kind of rally back to the district office who could provide support to a particular site. And then the different cabinet level members and upper management folks get their teams together and, you know, we kind of assess the situation and then deploy accordingly.
Hmm. I just would have thought everybody would have been kind of brought up. The principals would all know what was going on and they could determine what information that is shareable or viable to share if it's not on their campus, but it's still in the community.
One of the pieces that we run into right now is getting bits and pieces of information from all over the place. So you have to really sit back and, you know, kind of consider the source and figure out
formal confirmed information.
Right. What is real? What is accurate? What is confirmed? And, you know, that sometimes when there's a live situation and things are happening, you know, you've got students that might be texting parents about something that's happening. You have others that are, you've got communication channels that are running all over the place.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, this is me. I would think, okay, you call Brian or Sean or Billy and say, guys, tell me what I can tell my folks. What's real? And ignore the other stuff.
That is
just flat out ignore it and say, you know, if you're hearing things, don't trust it because we don't have that confirmed yay or nay.
And that's essentially what we do. And so the communication comes from our point of contact. It's somebody in the district office, you know, it's me at this point in time. So I'm reaching out to Chief Stevens or whomever Chief Stevens designates, you know, to represent the organization at that point in time. And then our office kind of filters that information out to principals. But again, you know, it's hard to, you know, decipher because people are in those moments are wanting information, you know, so it is.
Or demanding, or they're emotional instead of like, yeah, I mean, there's all that kind of swirl.
It goes on. And that's where, again, I think, you know, the more that we can drill with principals and drill with students and staff, and the more that we've been really fortunate, the couple of events that we've had in the last year plus, EPD has came in and helped debrief with staff. So here's what happened in this event. Here's how we responded. Here's why we responded. And that is such a critical trust builder to staff, so that way when something does happen, they know that those people, those guys that show up and those guys and gals that show up in uniform are there for them, and that provides so much confidence to staff.
Now, I don't know, is the auditorium still functional at Eureka High?
It is going to be up and running. You know, I don't want to put a date or jinx real quick.
What I was thinking is, you know, if it works so well, and it, obviously it does for staff, what about for the kids, and whether it's in the gym or in the auditorium, depending on what campus it is, or the cafeteria? Repeat the same thing. One day, boom, 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 and okay, 15 minutes on each campus, a little Q&A afterwards, give you a donut, and let's move on to the next one. And just do something like that so that the kids feel included instead of having to deal through a filter.
I think that's a great suggestion. One of the things that we're able to do with our school resource officer is, Officer Arminio is not running to campus, and his first interaction with the students is almost never a negative interaction. So he's able to get onto campus, and he's able to have positive interactions with folks, and that goes a long way for ensuring trust with law enforcement, you know, with the youngest students.
Yeah, yeah, it's one of the things I think a lot of us are frustrated with is a lot of times the information we get is three or four times removed.
Absolutely.
Now, it might not be practical or realistic to get first or second person, but how many interpretations do we need to actually get the information? Because all during that time, you got the rumor mill going.
You've got the rumor mill going, and again, I think that that's where trust is the most important thing that you can have in these events. We need, and everybody's got a job to do. Everybody knows what their job is, and you have to trust that the person, you know, above you, next to you, behind you is doing their job. And if everybody takes care of their job, you know, this is going to go as smoothly as it can go within what we can control. And
well, I would think the complicator now is you've also got some of these local website-based things that are out there that they don't really care about the facts. Now, they may claim that they do, but part of it is, you know, they want people to click in. So they're going to stir, and they're going to have innuendos and half-information things without hesitation. And then you guys get to deal with the upshot of or the repercussions from that, too. You know, it just... Well, maybe that's why we go to the same barber. I don't know.
Very true.
Yeah, but you're just a younger version of me, so you can see what you're headed for. Yeah. You may want to make a career change quickly. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Gary Storz from Eureka City Schools. So, Gary, governor came out with his mid-year, whatever we're going to call this thing.
the January proposal.
Yeah. I'm hoping that's not a proposal that people are going to accept.
We're a long ways from the finish line.
There you go. Yeah. All right. What kind of sense do you have about... You know, this year, you guys are pretty baked. But for next year, are you going to see significant changes, little changes, new approaches? What is this going to push you into?
Yeah. So what we know about the governor's proposal is, you know, that we're not looking to deal with. Well, there's a budget deficit right now, but the way in which Governor Newsom,
the state or you?
The state. So we know that there's a state deficit right now. The way that our governor is proposing to address this is to dip into the rainy day fund right now and to kind of, I don't know, you might say kick the can down the road, you know, for a little bit, which is all good and dandy if this is a 1-year gig.
And that's why you have a contingency fund. Get it. But if there's systemic issues, it gives you another 12 months to change the system. So that hasn't happened, but we're not hearing a lot of that other than, you know, the counties are going to be more responsible for more things without funding. Well, that's not doing anybody any good. That's just making, you know, a budget balance. So do you see that funding for education is going to continue to be as protected as it has been, or is everybody going to participate in the pain?
Boy, the 64 million-dollar question.
Million, billion, trillion.
Yeah. Yeah. California has seen a good investment into education, and it would, you know, it would sadden those of us in the K-12 space to see a reversal in there. That said, I think, you know, Governor Brown's, you know, wisdom, if you will, to build that rainy day fund is going to come in handy potentially this year. And that safety net is there for a reason. The governor's proposing to use it, and that's going to help protect some programs for potentially for the next little bit. But as I was mentioning, we're a little ways away from the finish line, so we should be getting.
Yeah, but you don't want to wait till last minute either.
Well,
or the board.
We have to start planning and start making some considerations, and those conversations are happening internally right now.
Now I'll say old days, and you can define that how you wish. The HRRP programs or vocational ed took it in the shorts. You know, they disappeared. They were lopped off because, I think honestly, it wasn't the cool stuff for those moving on to the 4-year school. And now, in hindsight, that may not have been the same decision outcome.
Sure.
Okay. And there's certainly a recognition that, you know, we need the plumbers and the carpenters and the electricians, and these are all viable, wonderful careers that'll keep kids here locally. Okay. So now you've got the pressures of the 4-year.
Absolutely.
And mom and dad wanting to brag where junior is going. You got the vocationals that you can see that the community wants, and it's instant employment for the kids. And then you've got all the other challenges that are there, either to get the kids through school or some of those that have the special needs. Is there a priority list of these broad categories, or, because somebody's ox will get gored one way or the other. You know,
yeah.
If the money isn't there, somebody's going to be uncomfortable. How do you get there? I mean, we have priority lists, but do you have like an anti-priority list that starts with the things you can lop off first?
That's a really good question. At Eureka City Schools, our board prioritizes initiatives. You know, so we have about 20 different priorities. We kind of sit down and we talk about what is the most important, you know, strategy 1 through 20, and then that process really helps prioritize our budget when times get lean. And we've also.
So do you do zero-based budget?
Help me.
Okay. You remember Etch-a-Sketch, right?
I remember.
Okay. Here's this year's budget. Past. Okay. Next year, Etch-a-Sketch. Everything comes in at zero. And we start all over again, and that allows that priority. It's not, well, it's a 2% increase or decrease from last year, or we asked for 10 but only got 5, so we actually got, the way we refer to that is we got 5% cut. I mean, all those semantics that just normal people don't talk about, but somehow in the budgetary process, these new definitions come into play.
Sure.
And inertia takes over rather than revisiting every line item and going, okay, do we need pencils? Because the kids all have computers now. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But it's a decision that's made instead of just inertia.
Yeah, so we'll look at trends. We'll look at where education is going, where it's moving to. Are there any new priorities or initiatives, you know, that are out there that are coming down the pipeline?
It's just, are textbooks mandatory?
Yes. You still have to teach. You have to teach some curriculum.
With the computers.
Well, you have.
You could have that, you know, that information, like audiobooks and Kindles and things of that nature, rather than having to buy sets of textbooks.
Yes, the textbooks may be digital now. You know, so some folks will open up their device, and that's where, you know, they're getting their curriculum and lessons and standards from.
I mean, it seems like that would make logical sense, and each kid could have their own computer, and probably the cost of a computer is less than a full set of textbooks
and
every year.
The digital license is often almost as expensive as the paperback license.
That just means you have to go to Amazon or a bookstore instead of, yeah.
We could talk about the curriculum packet for a while.
Oh, I'm thinking things, you know, like in English. You know, I mean, you don't have to buy their version. You can buy, I mean, come on.
Backpacks are lighter, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and, well, and bigger, too, because now they bring in everything else with them along. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Gary Storz from the City of Eureka Schools. It just is interesting for me, Gary, as you're looking at some of those priorities, the partnerships that are around, the partnerships that aren't around. Is vocational ed, or I know you get career to whatever, is that recognized now for really what it is, rather than, well, if you can't make it to college, if you can't make it in the military, well, okay, you can go out and you can, you know, do this or do that. I mean, is it kind of back up where it's getting recognized for what it really is?
Yeah, I think so. And Eureka High has a really wonderful career and tech ed program. And we're actually getting ready to offer a couple of more dual enrollment courses that are career and tech ed related right now, which is really exciting.
English?
A couple ag, you know, ag leadership, soil science.
Oh, really?
Aquaculture. So we've got some.
At Eureka High?
At Eureka High.
Aqua science or aquaculture?
Aquaculture, yeah.
So really? This has nothing to do with Atlantis. Or Aquaman.
No.
Okay.
This is no. Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, I forgot about Little Mermaid too. Okay.
You know, I'm showing my age. So the career and tech ed, super valued, super important as well. And, well, a really neat thing that we've got going on, our Indian Education Department is going to be taking a group of sophomores and juniors and visiting some vocational schools in the area and providing them with, you know, some experience, you know, on some campuses that offer some robust programs.
Other high schools that have their programs?
Junior colleges.
So, oh, okay, regional then.
Yeah.
Not just Redwoods.
Yeah, so Redwoods will be on the loop, but we want to, you know, take some people around, show some kids, you know, what's out there, you know, so that they can pursue their interests and make the high school learning experience perhaps a little bit more meaningful. Those career and tech ed classes are absolutely some of the classes that keep kids in school. So we want to make sure that we can show kids why that class matters and how that class can turn into a career later on.
One of the few things that I remember from Howard Field's geometry class, gosh, was that 50 years ago? Whoa, okay. 3, 4, 5. The triangle. Because if you're building decks, that's your magic.
Yeah.
But the practicality of that made a ton of sense.
Sure.
Some of the other stuff, not so much so. So I would think that is way cool development. Whether it's in the kitchen, you know, baking, cooking,
sure,
chemistry, those connections. The folks that are leading the tours, are they going to be, like, say, a chemistry teacher, and you're going to local restaurants, talking about how the recipes all combine together, and if you miss it, you miss your ratios,
sure.
What that means, and come at it from that the reality checks. I mean, that sounds so cool.
The relevance, explaining the why that a student is learning what it is that they are learning is incredibly important. You just can't tell a kid to jump and they're not just going to say how high, you know, anymore. Like there has to be a reason behind what it is that we're doing. And so what we're going to be setting out to do at Eureka City Schools from preschool all the way up is to make sure that our learning experiences are authentic. You know, we also want to make sure that
by authentic, you mean connected?
connected, project-based, okay, relatable to the community. Let's bring in, you know, Brian to our digital media class.
You don't pay attention, this is what could happen to you. Fear still works.
Right.
But I would think that would be so logical.
And it's really resonated. So I've had an opportunity, you know, over the last month to talk to a couple of different groups and, you know, trying to, you know, get some outside community members to come in and, you know, develop some of those relationships so we can figure out where in the sequence of a project-based unit those authentic folks that are doing the work in the field can come in and share their story, how they got to where they are, and how this curriculum applies to what it is that they're doing, and design some lessons.
You bring somebody in from the dairy ranch in an ag program, you know, I mean, if it's the entry level or if it's further on.
Sure.
Ask away. Find out, you know, what's viable, what isn't viable.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, and I know the business class isn't typically attracted as exciting for a lot of folks, but you bring in four or five different business owners, and all of a sudden now an idea sparks on how somebody could take their dream to reality. Okay, and I can make a left-hand turn here and get to that point. I don't have to worry about taking a physics class if I'm focusing on retail.
Absolutely.
Great. You know, absolutely. Then the classes are applicable and make sense to them instead of just following the leader.
The other piece that we're hoping to get to is to make sure the students have an opportunity to show what they know in more than just one way. So it can't just be, you know, we're going to take this three-question quiz at the end of the day, or we're going to take this test at the end of the chapter, and that's going to be your grade. Like, there's got to be a couple of different ways that students are able to demonstrate mastery over a subject or a piece of
content. Or even recognition of the subject. I mean, that would be like an interview with... Thanks for coming by, bud.
Well done.
See everybody tomorrow.